Hi, this is Charisse Kenyon, and you're listening to the Beauty Me podcast, all about beauty beyond the BS. Today, I'm trying to work out the BS that's behind the recently banned advert for Calvin Klein. The brand has been hitting us from all angles. Like, you cannot miss those images and videos of the Bears' Jeremy Allen White in his tiny little pants. It's part of the Spring 24 campaign for the brand, and Jeremy appears alongside Kendall Jenner and FKA Twigs. And one of these images has been banned by the Advertising Standards Agency, or the ASA, here in the UK. And some of us can't understand why, or we're just pretty annoyed and over it. So in this episode, I'm going to talk about that banned image, which, if you aren't already aware, happened to be the one of singer FKA Twigs. And it's really provoked an uproar. There's been a lot of pieces about it. And with that in mind, I decided to bring in freelance writer Atawadi Victor to discuss the ad. And she brings up some very useful points, particularly when it comes to the isms of this: racism, sexism, and colorism. But before we go there, I feel like it makes sense to go all the way back and look at Calvin Klein, the brand, look at its DNA, break down the key signatures that the brand relied upon and continues to rely upon when it comes to advertising the clothes, accessories that it wants to sell.
If a picture tells 1,000 words, then what exactly is behind these Calvin Klein ads? These sexy ads have everyone wondering just how provocative advertising should be.
The first chapter of the almost 500 pages coffee table book called Calvin Klein is entitled Rebellious. And it's a book that I've got on my shelf. And full disclosure, I wear Calvin Klein. I appreciate the value of the brand when it comes to the quality of the clothing and the impact that Calvin Klein, the man and the brand, has had on fashion at large. But that doesn't mean that I can also see where things are a little bit off. So just back to that title, Rebellious. I think that already provides you a hint as to Calvin's or the brand's approach to being seen and selling products. The word rebellious implies a coolness, because rebellious means you're willing to shake things up, perhaps willing to resist authority. It almost has this reverential tone to it, as if it's something to be respected. We should respect people who are rebellious. I'm going to read you the first paragraph from this book in Calvin's own words. I'm a nonconformist by nature. I act on instinct. This side of me has existed from the time I was young. I try to create things that provoke thought and erotic feelings. I've always loved taking risks and pushing boundaries, whether the world was ready or not. Taking things back even further, Calvin Klein Limited was founded almost 60 years ago in 1968. That first collection was a selection of understated coats and dresses, and a year later, his designs would appear on the cover of American Vogue. Over the next 10 years, the brand saw tons of growth. It added sportswear and lingerie to its women's line and also released several licenses for accessories, including sunglasses, scarves, shoes, bedding, everything. At this point, annual sales had increased to $30 million. And by the mid-70s, Klein became one of the first designers to put his own name on the back pocket of a pair of jeans. It was these same jeans that would sell 200,000 pairs in the very first week that they went on sale in 1978. The next decade would see the brand growing exponentially. Those licenses for accessories were now reaping huge profits in royalties for the brand, and by 1984, worldwide sales were in excess of $600 million. Despite a tiny blip in the road, they almost faced bankruptcy in 1992, the 90s were yet another profitable decade for the brand, thanks to its CK sportswear line, underwear and fragrance lines such as CK1, Eternity and Obsession, all of which had extensive advertising campaigns with very specific styling. They were all known for that very clean approach to fashion that Calvin had. Photographers who worked with the brand included Steven Meisel, David Sims, and Bruce Weber, who, just Google him, I mean, beautiful photography, but heavily problematic. accused of assault and just doing incorrect things back in 2017. So he's a whole other story. But it was throughout these Calvin Klein campaigns that we really began to see a signature of provocation. And just as Calvin said when I quoted him earlier, erotic provocation. He wanted people to, I don't know if he wanted people to act on seeing his images, but that being said, many of the Calvin Klein ad campaigns were stunningly beautiful, especially when it came to the various perfumes. It just seems like the denim and underwear campaigns in particular had a little bit more of that controversial undertone and of course gained the most notoriety, which wasn't always seen as a negative. And even today, there's countless articles about the brand talking about the fact that it was able to flaunt controversy and sell product. It was about selling sex, essentially. At the absolute worst, some Calvin Klein ads have been labeled as child pornography, criticized for promoting gang rape, violence, drug use, and as such, many have been pulled from print and television over time. As an article on Complex.com in 2013 says, these bans barely affected sales, but I would go one step further and say that these bans had a positive impact on sales. To really analyze the brand's DNA, I think it makes sense to look a little bit closer to one of the first Calvin Klein ads that caused general uproar. These are the ads that featured a 15-year-old Brooke Shields.
My mother warned me about boys like you. Mama said he's only interested in my Calvins.
If you don't know who Brooke Shields is, at one time she was easily the most celebrated teenager in the United States. But as with many in the public eye, her appearance in these ads, alongside some interesting film roles chosen by her mum, turned Brooke into an object. The image of Brooke became a symbol for sensuality that almost superseded who she really was as an actual real person. In her recent documentary series called Pretty Baby, Brooke shares experiences and how she felt as a child being sexualized in numerous ads, not just those for Calvin Klein. In the documentary, we see several of Brooke's Calvin Klein ads. In one, she's sucking her thumb. She's looking directly into the camera, talking about how she used to speak and act when she was a child. Bearing in mind, she's 15. There's another ad showing her pull on her jeans and she's taking her time. She's lying down. She's dragging her jeans over her hips while also giving a supposed mini lecture about jeans, you know, the jeans that make us who we are, not the jeans that we put on. And it's as if she's playing with an idea of being an adult. These ads were labeled child exploitation and pornographic, and they were subsequently banned. But when Calvin was interviewed about it at the time, he said, I try to provoke and interest people, and I will take chances with advertising, and maybe I do stir up some trouble, but it works. When he was asked about using very young teenagers in the ads, Calvin continued, so I'm a bad boy, what do you want? But he's giving it that irresistible tone, you know, what's bad is good, what's in the dark is mysterious and sultry. And that is fine when you are talking about adults, but Brooke Shields was a 15-year-old girl. I can't imagine anyone, brand or designer today, answering that question in the same way. Even if that's what they felt, they would have a team telling them, no, don't say you're a bad boy, just leave it. But back then, that comment only fed that image of him being a provocateur, and that's the image that made the brand itself more interesting. And that's what it's about at the end of the day, how to make a brand seem more interesting, enough for people to spend money on it. And back then, in just 90 days, the Brooke Shields ads boosted sales by 300%. By the way, I highly recommend that you watch Brooke's two-part documentary series, Pretty Baby. I watched it on Disney here in the UK. She seems to be on the point of tears for much of it, I have to say. And she shares a lot more that she went through as a teen actress and model. So I'll share a link in the show notes for you to check it out. One theme that often comes up in that documentary series is that back in the 80s and 90s, there was a real appetite for getting young girls rather than women to sell products. So even that in itself is very interesting. Since Brooks' ads, we've seen many other major names appear in their pants, including probably the most famous name, supermodel Kate Moss, who recently celebrated her birthday. She appeared both solo and also topless straddling actor Marky Mark, aka Mark Wahlberg of Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch. I don't even want to go there. That was in the 90s. Then we saw another supermodel, Christy Turlington, who actually has worked with the brand for over two decades now. We saw actress Eva Mendes, more on her later, Justin Bieber in the mid-2010s. And more recently, we've seen Saltburn's Jacob Elordi, the cast of Moonlight, and Euphoria actresses Alexa Demi and Hunter Schafer. At this point, it's easy when we look back at the brand's journey to really spot these key symbols that it relied upon over and over again in its advertising. As someone who's seen a lot of Calvin Klein imagery, I've made quite a few videos about Calvin Klein fragrances in particular on my TikTok, so be sure to check that out, Charisse Kenyon. But throughout all that research and looking back, particularly when it comes to symbols that we see in the adverts for denim and underwear, I would say the key signatures for the men's ads were and are white boxer briefs, muscles, the imprint of the man's genitals, sweat, movement, either literal if it's a video or if it's an image, it will show the body in motion, shadows, black and white, and perhaps some kind of sporting angle or show of strength. There are a lot of similarities with the women's ads, but I would say the key symbols there are and were skin, sweat, a touch of cleavage, no bra if it's a denim campaign, probably borrowing her boyfriend's Calvin Klein underpants that would show over the over the top of the jeans, often shot in black and white, shadows, smudged eyeshadow, slick hair, often lying down. Now, as a photographer, I've got a fine art background. I also love film. I love film analysis. I love fashion and beauty. I like to get to the point of things and look back and investigate. So I understand the point of provoking a reaction. Movies do it, adverts do it, music videos do it. It's about playing with the theme up to a point to provoke conversation. But depending on the artist, sometimes they go past that line because they really want to drive a point home. They go past what's considered appropriate and they really want the audience to have a reaction. Good, bad, indifferent, it's all about reaction. And that's very specific to the world of art and music, I feel. But I think fashion has over time borrowed that to sell products. When it comes to art, do we want artists to give themselves boundaries? How can I say fashion and beauty are about play and then put limits on artists and designers? Who am I to say that sexuality and eroticism aren't part of how we dress or how we do our hair or our makeup? The problem is everything is subjective. What we view as beauty or art, we decide if it's beautiful or if it's art, if it's too much, if it's not enough. Obviously, there are certain times that society at large kind of implements an unwritten rule, assuming that we all see in the same way. For instance, morals, human rights, but let's just be real about it. Recent events or events that have been going on for years in Gaza would tell us that we don't all agree that we have the same rights. We don't all agree that genocide is bad. So that's why things can get murky and messy because we don't all agree. Bringing it back to art, fashion, music, it's very subjective. One thing that features not only in Calvin Klein's controversial signatures, many other brands such as Diesel, United Colors of Benetton, Sisley have gone all out to shock in the past, but it's relying on the woman and man as an object. By objectifying the body, the clothes are sold to us not by their merits of wearing well, being well made, made with quality ingredients. Instead, they are selling a feeling, an emotion, or simply sex. And I don't think this is only in ads that feature women. I have to say, I need to look up anyone that's written about the men in these ads because honestly, they are purely reduced to body parts. If you just look at the ads featuring Justin Bieber in 2015, Aaron Taylor-Johnson and Michael B. Jordan last year, or of course, Jeremy Allen White most recently, all of those ads are supposedly selling underwear, but what are we looking at? We're looking at their muscles and their dicks. I'm sorry, there's no two ways about it. Yes, underwear is there to fit over the penis, but they're really selling the penis. I'm sorry. That's what these ads do. They're slow motion. They're black and white. Their bodies are oiled up. They look like they've just done 20 push-ups off screen, so they've got a pump on. We are looking at these body parts. I don't know if that's in order to make the men watching suddenly go out and buy Calvin Klein boxer briefs, or if it's meant to make their partners go out and buy the boxer briefs in the hopes that they will end up looking just as sexy. I don't know. I guess if I'm honest, these ads want the men to look at these other men and think, yeah, that's me when I put those pants on. But for me, these ads are even more objectifying because, I don't know, they just seem more in your face, like this is all men have to offer. Before we move on to the band FKA Twigs image in particular, I should point out that Calvin Klein the man sold his brand in 2002, so he hasn't been the one making the decisions for a couple of decades now. And that's what's got me wondering, is it because the brand has gone from being one person's vision, their desires, their creations, to now being a room full of people trying to evoke that Calvin Klein of the past? I've got no clue how much say the current designer Jessica Lomax has when it comes to the ad campaigns, but I'm guessing there are a lot more people in the room making decisions about these ads right now than there were 30 years ago. So let's look at the FKA Twigs image, which is part of a wider current campaign which features the Bear actor Jeremy Allen White, who I've already mentioned, and also Kendall Jenner. The image shows FKA Twigs looking directly at the camera. She has one item of clothing on. It seems to be like a dark denim shirt or perhaps a black denim shirt. She has her hair braided in a very intricate braided style that just brushes the top of her chest. We see side boob and a little bit of front boob, no nipple. We can see the side of her butt. It's muscular. It's very toned. There's a hint of moisturizer there. Her body is well moisturized. She's holding the shirt fully on one side and letting it drop down the other side to reveal a naked shoulder. That's the ad that got banned. Bearing in mind that Twigs has modeled for the brand before, and I think in recent ads, she was seen wearing a jacket, a corset top and jeans, and obviously a lot more covered up. The image of her wearing this denim shirt was banned after just two people complained to the Advertising Standards Agency here in the UK. Those same two people also complained about the images of Kendall Jenner. But the ASA said those images were acceptable because Kendall holding her breasts was not done, quote, in a manner that portrayed her as a sexual object. The ASA said that the image of FKA Twigs, quote, used nudity and centered on FKA Twigs' physical features rather than the clothing, to the extent that it presented her as a stereotypical sexual object. They also said, quote, the image's composition placed viewers' focus on the model's body rather than on the clothing being advertised. If that doesn't describe every single Calvin Klein ad, I don't know what to say. Kendall is literally holding her bare breasts, but she's not a sexual object. Kendall holding her breast is not seen as using nudity, whereas Twigs holding a shirt over one half of one of her boobs is nudity. I don't know what to say. But by the way, is it not amazing that just two people can activate such change? Don't you wish that other things could be that simple? And even on the website, the ASA says, we don't play the numbers game. Just one complaint will have us checking out what's going on. And I was like, wow, if only we could activate such change in other parts of the world from two complaints. But anyway, for me, the reason that I began prepping this episode is because I just wanted to just talk about this. Why is it so problematic? And I did post my own take on the story. In my own TikTok video, I brought up the fact that FKA Twigs is looking directly at the camera or the viewer, as opposed to lying prone on the floor like Kendall Jenner. Looking directly at the camera is seen as more confronting. It's like, I see you seeing me, whereas Kendall's kind of lying there like, oh, I see you. It's just a bit more soft, you know? I also pointed out that Twig's hair is braided. perhaps that's an illustration of her love of her Jamaican heritage, and that was too much for the ASA. I also pointed out the fact that she's got a muscular, yet still very small frame, and that perhaps the ASA saw her strength plus her hair and pose as a threat. Which, of course, is ridiculous. It's ridiculous that I'm even saying it, but I have to clutch at these straws because I'm just like, why is this picture so triggering for the ASA? It's even more ridiculous when you consider the amount of video footage and imagery of Jeremy Allen White we've had to endure. I love Jeremy and I love him playing the character Calm. Is it Carmy? Calm? In The Bear? I love him. He's great. I don't want him to be with that girl, by the way. I can't stand the girlfriend. Like, I love him. I love his character. I have enjoyed watching his Get Ready With Me's with Calvin Klein ahead of the Golden Globes. I love his style. He's made the white t-shirt iconic once again. But I don't need to see all his bits. I don't need all these close-ups. And yet, we've been bombarded with Jeremy. Slow motion, full color. And everyone's just laughing at it. They're like, oh my God, this is so fun. It's like everybody's enjoying it. But what about the people who aren't? What about the people who would prefer to see a still image of a woman looking directly at them to sell clothes? It's just, I don't know. I just think the ASA is rubbish because Jeremy Allen's body is a sexual object in that ad. It is. It's a stereotypical sex object to sell clothes. So I don't get why they haven't all been banned or why they just didn't leave Twiggs's image alone. I think it's very, very strange. And that's why I thought, let me open up this conversation with someone whose opinion I'm always interested in. I'm talking about the brilliant freelance journalist Atawaji Victor. She has written for the likes of British Elle and Vogue, and she's also appeared back on the show in November 2022. She begins by sharing her own thoughts on the Brooke Shields documentary. And by the way, she was the one that prompted me to watch this in the first place. So thank you, Atawaji.
First of all, I would love to know your interpretation of the image and then your reaction, if any.
Well, I feel like I need to start probably a lot of my own thoughts are quite cynical, if I'm truly honest. Maybe it's the, you know, January of it all. But I think I have quite a complex relationship, like full stop, when it comes to Calvin Klein ads. And I could never really put my finger on it until some point last year. I watched Brooke Shields has a documentary out called Pretty Baby, and there's a really, I would call it disturbing, and I don't think it's an exaggeration to call it, like, clip about her time with Calvin Klein and the messaging and the way they had her pose and all of those different things, when I think at this point she would have been 16, 17. Yeah, even younger, actually. And I realized that I think when you, especially in 2024, if I was to come out and say that I think Calvin Klein is exploitative overall, lots of people would say, well, you listen to XYZ, or I don't mind expressions of sexuality or sensuality in this way. But I will say, I think when it comes to this company, I always have quite negative feelings, but I like the jeans. When it comes to how did I feel when I saw the image? If I'm truly honest, I think I saw the image in the same way that, again, my cynicism, in the way that I'm going to put my little tinfoil hat on, in the way that I think they wanted us to see it, if I'm truly honest. And I saw the backlash before I saw the image. So I saw the op-eds, I saw the little, you know, infographs that we all love now on Instagram before I saw the actual image of FK Twigs. I feel like I had quite a neutral reaction to it because she's somebody that is quite open about her, like exploring a sensual side of her in her artistry. So it wasn't really shocking to see her body in that way.
Yeah.
As to why it was banned, I think I have quite complex thoughts about it, because I think I've seen quite a few pieces talking about the obvious, so the isms, mm-hmm. sexisms, the racisms, the mm-hmm. colorisms, which is even yes. why she was chosen for the ad, if we want to get down to brass tacks. However, I will say immediately when I think in our little brief, we were talking, there's like something about how Kendall Jenner was also featured in the same campaign.
Yeah.
I will say it kind of speaks to the fact that there's a difference between, how best do I explain this? The same way that we have like conventional attractiveness and we've had to spend beauty, just the whole industry was spending so much time having to lay that out and say actually blonde blue-eyed doesn't explicitly mean beautiful, and over here doesn't explicitly mean ugly, and all of those different things. Mm-hmm. I will say, I don't think as a society we've gotten past the point of people that are like innocuously sexy versus someone that provokes desire in you. And the fact that this country, for all it is still quite conservative, and that comes out in moments like this. I think the difference, as much as we can talk about the fact that it's a white woman versus a black woman, I think one of the biggest things that would have provoked people to complain is the fact that Kendall's body is, you're being told that it's sexy, it's being presented as sexy. Whether or not that provokes a form of desire in you is a different conversation. Whereas I think historically with black women, whether it's Jezebel narratives, whether it's whatever, whether it's people overly sexualizing the most, you know, wholesome black singer going, right? The narrative that a black woman in that way is sexy to provoke something in you, I think is what people didn't like, and what really, I think, you know, stirred this kind of backlash. I was like, oh, am I going to say that? I think her response is interesting.
Mm-hmm. Taking ownership as an artist and...
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think she must have had, I would hope, I mean, going back to your point of the Brooke Shields thing, I need to watch that myself first, but also hopefully things have moved on. I mean, if on films they have intimacy coaches, surely at photo shoots there should be some element of the person feeling like they're doing what they want, but God knows. But she very much took ownership, didn't she, about you're not going to take my narrative away from me. Which is interesting. It shows that she felt like she was part of the process. She was happy with the outcome. And just to go back to even the pictures of Kendall, I just looked at them and I was like, Kendall is holding her boobs. So they complained about that because there's a hint of boob.
Yeah.
But at the same time, she's lying on the floor. She's prone. That's the classic sexy.
Yeah.
Woman staring directly at you with her very defined muscular glutes.
Yeah.
It's not the same kind of sexy, is it? It's not the same kind of beauty, you know, so.
But I think that's the point that I think I was stuck on, of it was almost not about the body. It was about, again, these assigned beauty standards. So They could quite literally have the same body, but the stereotype of a black woman having curves and things like that then pushes it into that sexy too far, this is borderline, you know, inappropriate land versus girl next door. Yeah. Both are sexy, both provoke different reactions, and we accept them differently. Even when you're saying about sex scenes, I think Florence Pugh could streak and I don't think it would have the same reaction, point blank. And that's not even because I think every single being is sensual and can access because every, you know, the everyday person has sex, whether or not they are sexy, different conversation. It's like on like a less serious note, me and my friends always like have this back and forth with actors, and sometimes it's we'll go like, yeah, like actually is that person pretty or are they hot? And there is a difference.
Yeah.
I will say on the back in my foil hat moment, why I say I'm kind of like, is this the reaction they want? Is I would say the outrage, specifically Black outrage to op-ed pipeline over the last 5 years, is just kind of out of control, if I'm really honest. And then I'm about to say something that's like almost in complete contradiction to what I'm saying now. But I will say, I think us talking about it in this way, I almost don't believe that that wasn't even a factor. Like, you know, you can do like risk assessments for,
of course,
for, yeah, like for if a flight can get somewhere safely. I think it is 100% somewhere in a creative team, unless there was just no, you know, cultural
well, I mean, might not be. Can you, I mean,
yeah,
you would hope.
Yeah, fair enough.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I know what you're saying. There's a room where somebody said, yes, this is the image we're releasing.
It's the image, but we already know that this country has an extremely just insidious problem with race, I would say, because it's never forward facing. It's why they constantly point to America and say, look over there, look at how they're treating
it a lot better over here,
right? Look at how they're treating them. And it's like, fundamentally, I remember saying something at a dinner table a couple of years ago, and it caused me a lot of like woof. And I said, if the UK had access, the same like level of access to guns, we would be looking at the same thing.
Yes,
it is just a difference in the way that violence is played out. That's realistically, it's a cultural difference. It is politeness versus, you know, being upfront.
It's not a mindset.
No.
It's just the fact you don't have that access. Yes. So you don't do those things.
100%. And that being loud is a big no-no. If not, it wouldn't be whispered microaggressions, and it would be all out aggressions.
Yeah. Brits are so good. They're so good.
Yeah.
To the point where it might be hours later, days later, you're like,
and you move on from it, because again, that's how, if you were raised in this country, that's the way that you work through it. But yeah, so with when it comes to the race element, and like I said, like I maybe I am just cynical that I'm like already thinking, did they not think that this is where this was going? I will also say that for me, it is pointing to, I think there's been a lot of discussion about a regression happening when it comes to bodies, mm-hmm. when it comes, you know, the backlash that Paloma Earl Sousa, I can never say her surname.
Oh yeah, the uproar that came from that, and I was
right. So
I mean, just for the listeners, we should explain, everybody, a lot of people were happy that Paloma Earl Sousa won Model of the Year because she is so-called plus size curve model, and a lot of people were very unhappy that Anok Yai did not win because mm-hmm. she's considered more beautiful mm-hmm. by many, and obviously she's very slim, but also she is a dark-skinned model.
Mm-hmm.
Paloma is light skin. Mm-hmm. So it's just,
yeah.
Just for me to explain to the listeners a little bit before you carry on.
I feel like when I saw that, I thought on one hand, her winning in the midst of quite a extreme return to thinness.
Yep.
You know, because we've got op-eds on op-eds about Ozempic and things like that. And actually just seeing fashion, even though I know loads of people have gone, actually, no, I'm going to wear a mini skirt as well. And that is still taking place. But for the most part, people are adjusting their bodies and you're seeing it. Yeah. So I would say we're looking at like a beauty regression when it comes to things like that. Mm-hmm. I will say I was talking to, I interviewed Fasayo Lange, so the founder of Kai Collective, mid last year, and we got into a bit of a discussion about the fact that 2020 obviously was this big moment, and everyone supposedly woke up from their slumber when it comes to inclusion. And I will say, I think there is definitely, at least I can only speak for my industry, I would say that the regression we're seeing in beauty isn't just returning us back to things like bodies, it's our overall societal push to return to pre-pandemic is pushing us back in terms of societal progress. Mm-hmm. So even the op-eds, and this is not to say that Black people or people of colour should have always be given the assignments on Black outrage. I think that there's so many issues with that anyway. But the majority of the pieces that I saw reacting to this, they weren't written by Black or people of colour.
Thank you.
And I think that in itself then bleeds into how this reaction could happen. Mm. I basically think we can think about it in terms of returning back to work in 5 days and all those different things. But I would say everyone's push to return back to normal is slowly undoing a lot of societal progress that we've had. And that's something that Fasayo was saying, as in it went from, okay, we're going to have some of your pieces in our mags, in this, in that, to, oh, okay, yeah. Oh yes, we'll get, and then silence essentially, unless it's Black History Month. So
it's just so true, and it's so fucking sad at the same time because you are so spot on. Like, it was we've got to do something. We've got to show that we care, guys. I mean, we've got to let these people know. These people that are our neighbors, our work colleagues, sometimes in our family, we should be doing something.
Yeah.
And then, like you say, there's this, I don't know if it's the human condition, but this desire, can we go back? Can we just get back a bit? And can we just have that space, put that space between us again? And yeah, it's absolutely disgusting and annoying, especially when you're on the receiving end. But I noticed with the FK Twig stuff, and I was like, Sharice, this is not your job. But I made my own video about it because I was annoyed. And this week's podcast has allowed me to fill in the gaps more, educate people on the history of Calvin Klein. It is constantly linked to controversy. And that is a selling point at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But I would go around and see these posts by ID, Days, The Face, Cheer Up Love. And I think all of them are... Many of them were written by white women, and they all seem to do the whole putting twigs against Jeremy Allen White. There was no mention of Kendall in hardly any of these pieces. And I was like, guys, there's literally the same two people that complained about twigs complained about Kendall. That's a ready-made comparison for you.
Yeah.
But instead, they were putting twigs against Jeremy. And I was like, well, we all know that white men have got the... Why not? I don't mean as in pit her against, but why not measure her against Kendall? Why not compare those two?
But I think, again, it speaks to... Well, now it's the age-old issue within modern feminism of intersectionality is a footnote. And the unwillingness to ever see yourself as... part of the problem. And whether or not, you know, like I always say this, that I would hope that my own integrity and things like that would mean that if I was in that same position, I would also look. But I would say our society doesn't really have the room for that for the most part. But I will say it's what's that Greek mythology thing where he's like, he's flying too close to the sun?
Icarus.
It's hubris. It's all those things. And I think especially after the, let's call it what it was, the defeat of the girl boss over the last year, I think it's almost too much for a lot of these writers, not all, but a lot of them, to sit there and still continue to drag down any form of, you know, female progression in the name of progressing us all. I think it's too much to ask. And all that nuance gets edited out, which is another conversation for a different day.
Right. I think we'll leave it there because you perfectly blended all of my questions together, which I love.
That was Atawadi Victor, and I'll be sure to share links with her socials and also her appearance on the show in the show notes for you, alongside my own video on the subject that I mentioned earlier. I think it's that conversation that really pushed me towards making a conclusion. You know, I can't have these episodes going on for hours and hours. But for me, I just thought, okay, I guess FK Twigs is just collateral damage. You know, because while many of us are pissed off, I've had so many people contacting me about how they can dispute the decision of the Advertising Standards Agency. I've had people ask me to start petitions. But despite all that, the brand is going to be fine. And I hope that Twigs is going to be fine as well. She has so much more ahead of her. She's an extremely talented human. I guess we should be happy that the brand at least has defended the FKA Twigs ad. In a statement, Calvin Klein said, "The images were not vulgar and were of two confident and empowered women who had chosen to identify with the Calvin Klein brand, and the ads contained a progressive and enlightened message." They also said that both FKA Twigs and Kendall Jenner collaborated on the imagery. Neither Kendall nor Jeremy have spoken out on the subject at this point. I think that would be kind of cool to show some kind of solidarity, but in this age, everybody's watching what they say, watching their back, so I understand. But before I sign off, literally just before I started recording, I found this quote from Eva Mendes, the actress I mentioned earlier, who is, of course, married to Ryan Gosling, the star of Barbie, which I'm still yet to watch. Let me know, do I need to watch it? So she appeared in print and televised ads for the Calvin Klein perfume Secret Obsession in 2008. The ad for TV sees her rolling around on a bed topless. You see it, you do see a nipple. She looks stunning. It's a beautiful ad, but it was deemed too provocative. And apparently it was banned so swiftly in the US that we can't even find, we don't even know how many people saw that. You can see it on YouTube though. You just got to look, keep looking. What really stands out to me, though, is what Eva said about the ad being banned at the time. She said, quote, "That means the ads are totally Calvin, totally provocative, and a little controversial." And I think that comment only further adds to the concept of our reaction to art and consequently advertising as being entirely subjective. She thought it was cool, and she thought that the Calvin Klein brand was about being provocative and controversial. She sees that as part of the brand. So I feel that it all comes down to your own beliefs, what you're comfortable with, what you've seen in life, what you've experienced in life, your own desires and morals. But what do you think? I want to know what you think about the ad. What do you think about it being banned? Is it a big deal? Do you feel sorry for FKA Twigs? I'll definitely share some kind of questionnaire for anybody who's listening on Spotify so that you can have your say. But if you're listening elsewhere, feel free to tag me when you're listening, share your thoughts, or DM me on Instagram or X at BeautyMePodcast. Don't forget to hit subscribe or follow wherever you're listening so you never miss another episode. And if you don't already know, you can expect extra episodes on a Monday because I am working on a new series called The Week in Beauty. See you next time, and thanks for listening.